Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Matt Doyle. One game down, hundreds more to go in the 2024 MLS regular season. Inter Miami 2-0 winners against Real Salt Lake on Wednesday night. Coming up on today's show, we will react to opening night. Messi, Suarez, Gomez, and Robert Taylor cruising to 3 points, or not cruising, depending on your opinion. MLS entered CONCACAF Champions Cup in full force. Jose Kojima's big night. Karans and the Union tamed the Purple Monster and Big Dunk Gritties as Orlando made a statement. We'll also finish up our team-by-team previews. We've got Portland, Colorado, LAFC, Seattle, Atlanta, and LA Galaxy. And the best of match day one is coming your way. The matchup, the debut, the tactical nugget that we are looking forward to. What's up, guys? Did you watch last night's game, Dave, in as cool a place as Kalen Carr did?
No. I don't think I know of places that are as cool as where Kalen hangs out. But I thought you were going to start with, did I watch the game? It's like, it's opening game of MLS season.
No, come on.
Get locked in.
Wait, we got 90 minutes for me to ask stupid questions, all right? I will get to some of those. 11 games on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. Of course, we got the opener on Wednesday night. You can watch on MLS Season Pass. Studio coverage starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. The wrap-up is at 12:30 p.m. Eastern every single Saturday night. You can also follow on the new Apple Sports app, which I believe also has immediate links out into Season Pass on Apple TV. So if you want an easy way to track the scores and go directly to the games when and where you want them, the new Apple Sports app is your spot. Saturday, there's two early games, Columbus, Atlanta, 2 p.m. Eastern from lower.com field. Sick matchup. We'll talk about it later. LAFC, Seattle goes down at 4:30. So you can just lock in, roll through both of those, and then straight into Countdown, the pregame show, or La Previa, which is the Spanish language side of that. You'll have an hour preview there. And then MLS 360, all the matches, finishing the night with the wrap-up. Just want to say, if you're watching in Spanish, having Gio Savarese, Miguel Gallardo, and Carlos Pavon on the same panel is both awesome and hilarious. Those guys in studio, Doyle, dare I say, more entertaining than the English commentators.
Wow.
Dare I say.
I'm going to need a larger sample size, but what I will say is that they already have a great bit. Like Gio, I've just gotten to know Gio over the past like 6-8 months, and everybody's always said he's the nicest guy, and that is true. And Gio, because he's a nice guy, and because, let's face it, he might once again coach in this league, Gio does not like to make predictions. Gio does not.
Hey, it's just like you.
Yeah, exactly. Gio does not. And for the same reasons, obviously. He does not like to go swords out all that often. And so Miguel is already our good friend Miguel Gallardo is already pushing Gio to get out of his comfort zone and start going after teams that deserve a little going after. So it's a fun bit. It's helping me improve my Spanish week by week. If you have Spanish, I highly recommend you give those guys a try because they're putting in the work, man.
This is MLS also debuting this week. Doyle, why don't you plug it? Do the Kalen Carr on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a once a week show. Right now it's only on YouTube, but I think after a couple of weeks it'll be on Season Pass. Taylor Twellman, Sasha Kleshton, those guys remoted in from, you know, points outside of New York City. And then it was me and Kalen Carr and Bradley Wright Phillips and Jill Sakovitz was hosting from the greatest city in the world, New York. And we basically go through the entire league in terms of narratives and what we're expecting, but also kind of doing game breakdowns as well, a little bit of a preview bent to it. It was fun the first week. You know, I had some audio issues, but you know, that happens in week one. You could catch it on YouTube right now, but we're looking forward to it for week two for sure.
Real hard sell there. make sure to get on YouTube to get Doyle's audio issue.
You sure those were issues? I mean, Anders is producing this thing. So.
That's fair. I was going in on the sounders and just suddenly
I just leaned on the mute button here for a couple of seconds. Sunday action as well this week. Cincinnati, Toronto, Nashville, New York, and then LA Galaxy, Miami finish up match day one to kick us off. Some news before we jump into the best thing we saw, because we got a lot to cover between Champions Cup and this Wednesday night match. The playoff format will stay the same for 2023. Also, as you're watching games this weekend, you've probably seen this news if you're listening to this podcast, but Pro, the professional referee organization, is locked out PRSA. So MLS is using replacement refs for the time being as negotiations continue. They will not be implementing the changes that we've talked about, the 10-second sub rule, the VAR announcements to the stadium, etc. So those implementations will not go into place to start, but you'll see replacement refs this weekend. All right, best thing you saw. Let's start with the universal one. The messy dink over poor Andrew Brody. The Andrew community hates to see this. Hates it. Brody stepped on in the buildup, stays down. Lionel Messi gets the ball back, and he's like, what is that cone doing laying on the ground? I'm going to flip the ball over that cone into perfect half volley position and nearly score one of the most absurd goals ever. Is it?
It would have been the most disrespectful soccer goal.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it disrespectful? What? How we?
Were we talking Aaron Bupenza like a week ago?
I mean that one was also disrespectful, but
in an actual
felt
goal,
like it felt like. First of all, Brody was not milking it, right? Like his hand got fully stepped on, his wrist got fully stepped on. Like that looked like it hurt, but. It looked like Messi saw this guy laying on the ground and was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dribble exactly in that direction. I'm going to chip it over him at the top of the box. I'm going to one-touch finish after the – and, I mean, from RSL's perspective, from Andrew Brody's perspective, thank God Lionel Messi's shot was blocked, because if it was not – and he tagged that thing upper 90, as he often does from that position on the field, Andrew Brody would have been in that highlight clip for the rest of his life. Like, they would have been burying him with that highlight clip 80 years from now.
That siren you heard was the ambulance that would have had to come from. Well, gotta love a siren on the show. Dave, did you see the spin? Like, am I marveling at the wrong thing?
No, that's why it was cool, because it wasn't like a chip where he lifted the ball over. He literally like clipped it directly over, not too high, directly over Brody, and reacted quick enough. And that's like one of those things where you're like, there are a lot of people in the world who would like lift the ball over a player or jump over them. No one would do it in that way. And it was just one of those where it's like, I think I texted 16 people and I was like, what am I looking at right now? What is happening? And that's what's fun when you watch Messi. I know for you guys, it's getting a little tight because Suarez, Messi, 90 minutes, no goals. Golden Boot champions for you two. You're already laboring. Like, that feels weird, but it's fine because Facundo Torres
did
the business in cavalry.
Was disappointing to see Chicho Arango not get too many chances, but you know, we're gonna bounce back on five that shots. Side.
Took five shots, maybe.
Yeah, but they
were all shots where he was like, "I'm tired. I could let the play develop, or I could bang this off a defender from no angle and get a corner kick."
There was a lot of that from RSL.
Yeah, Messi, what an absurd human. I was watching with Sasha and BWP, and when both those guys basically sort of choked in the moment when Messi did that, you know, sometimes I'm like, are my eyes deceiving me? Is this as impressive as I think it is, not being a professional soccer player, never having the capability to imagine something like that, let alone do it, and then those guys react that way? More moments like that coming from Lionel Messi. Corey Engelmeyer said, what's the podcasting equivalent of dribbling over a player laying on the ground on top of the box? Is there a podcasting equivalent here?
No.
Yeah, it would probably be like if Cam and Wyatt came in and Weeby had both them in his arms and still hosting while walking away, but we've never seen it happen.
We haven't. They've made appearances, but I haven't, you know, haven't tried to wrangle them in that moment. It might also be, you know, every other co-host dumping on your Golden Boot team and then you winning at the end of the year. That might be the moment, right?
That would actually be pretty hot.
We're in the mud. You're chipping over us.
It would be wild. I'd have to buy all new batteries for Team Calculator down there just to recover his emotion and his energy.
Oh, man. All right, Dave, you're on one here. What's the best thing you saw?
Shout out to Orlando fans. They played Cavalry, who I assume we're not allowed to host because they have an outdoor stadium in like the tundra. in February. So they hosted at the same stadium Vancouver Whitecaps hosted Tigres at in British Columbia. So shout out to the whole crowd because it was pretty full considering there technically was no home team. But there was like a huge Orlando City supporters group that made that trip, which is, I would assume, the farthest trip they could possibly make. It's across a continent on a diagonal. I would assume Costa Rica's closer, but I might be wrong about that.
I think Vancouver might actually be, would Vancouver be further based on like as the crow flies?
That's what I'm saying.
But in terms of travel,
to get to the stadium, they have to fly to Vancouver and then take a ferry and then get there. And it was like a legit crowd. So congrats to them. I thought that was really cool. Obviously, the fans are like my favorite part of this league. And so week one, you're watching Miami, then you flip over, you watch that, and you're just like, oh, everyone's back. Everyone's ready to go. So it was really cool. Same with the St. Louis crowd on Wednesday night.
Shout out, by the way, to Duncan McGuire. We sort of referenced it there, but the one, the bleach blonde hair upon returning from the failed transfer saga into the beautiful, amazingly confident, just in form goal, and then the gritty. Doyle, I don't think
he was on it.
I don't think Dunk's going to have a drop off here.
I don't think so either. And I think he had a couple other chances as well. And that's fine, right? Like the big issue with Duncan McGuire last year, if you're going to have reservations heading into the season, was he finished like every good chance he got, right? He was not high volume. He was about 55th percentile in terms of finding chances. He was 99th percentile in finishing. So if he gets up to like, and year over year, what we know about goal scorers is that it's easier to maintain the number of chances you find it, whereas finishing it, like there's a lot of variance in there. So if he starts finding more chances, even if he cools off, because he was on a heater last year, even if he cools off, he'll still be one of the better goal scorers in North America and still have a big move lined up for hopefully not Blackburn. I'm still hoping that like Club Bruges gets it together and makes a big bid for, because I would rather see him playing at the top of the Belgium league and in the Champions League, which is what Bruges are every single year, as opposed to freaking Blackburn.
He should go replace
and they're another B team, so Weeby would enjoy that.
And possibly a League One team.
Not to overvalue Tommy Wheeldon's boys and Cavalry Orlando, it ended up being easy for them after like 20 minutes, but to Doyle's point, it feels like with Pereira out of the team, whether it's Torres playing as the 10 or Torres with Lodero in there, there was a million crosses put in yesterday. Ojeda looked better than he looked for a lot of last year. Angulo, you know, is going to whip in chances. It feels like this team will create more chances than they did last year consistently. So they should be there, whether it's for McGuire or Muriel.
Shout out, by the way, to Robin Johnson, the new captain in Orlando. I think he's been there 5 or 6 years, maybe. Orlando put out a video